up to this point of this hour about family business. It's all been transitions from fathers to sons. But what if you have a son that's not interested in the business, or you're a business owner and you didn't have a son? We go to Joanna Hasek in Green Valley. Joanna in Green Valley, we had a conversation with earlier that we're queuing up right now.
My name is Joanna Hasek, and I'm with Green Valley Cooling and Heating. I am the marketing director here as well as an owner. My parents purchased the company in 2001. I've been working for the company about 8 years now, and I did my first stint in college, took a break with corporate America, and came back to the business in 2011. I have a bachelor's of science in business administration with a concentration in accounting. I am the only child. I have three daughters, 8, 6, and 2 years old, and my plans of them taking on the family business are a possibility, but it is very discouraging to some females, as this is a very male-dominated industry. The best book on business practices I would recommend is Good to Great by Jim Collins. It's an excellent read. The most valuable business lesson learned is you'll have that love-hate relationship with your business, and that's okay. It is part of the growth cycle, and it comes with pushing those boundaries to be the very best at what you do.
Now, Tom, she said something in that interview that I think hits close to home with you. She was talking about three daughters and maybe not moving on. But that's three potential son-in-laws to take it over as well.
Yeah, absolutely. When we got going, it was, our kids were all young, you know, it was 1979, and, you know, they went to school, and after school, I mean, in summertime, they all came into the business. All the kids know the business real good. And, as time went on, different things happened, you know, and, my one son, after he graduated, I thought he was going to, the oldest son was going to, you know, come in with us, but he was interested in the Marine Corps. So I figured, well, he'd let him, you know, that's a fine thing to do. So go ahead, you know. And the other son, well, he was our nightmare. And, you know, he was running from the cops. So we couldn't get him to work, you know, enough hours, you know. So anyway, but my daughters, they also worked in the business. So, you know, my wife would drive a truck. I would drive a truck. And we'd take each one of the kids. So as time went on, the other daughter married. My older daughter married a guy who was in the appraisal business. So she kind of went that direction. And my younger daughter, so funny, she's the only one that went to school. And every summer, she would work with us. And, you know, at the end of summer, she said, okay, Dad, that's it. I'm hanging up my pole, you know. So here she'd go to school again. Next summer, come around, say, Annie, what are you doing? She'd grab her pole again. She'd come with us. Then she met this crazy guy down at ASU. And, she said, oh, my goodness, this is the guy. I like this guy. I said, well, that's fine, you know. And so we kind of went along with it, met this guy. And I told my wife, I said, get this guy out of here. My God, this guy, he's not, no way with him, you know. No, absolutely no way. But as time went on, you know, they were arguing. And I was telling him, get rid of this guy. He don't know it. So anyway, he was interested in business. So then he went with her a couple times. And she, you know, she kind of helped him along. And she was pretty good in the business. She's very good. And then he got real interested. So he was kind of the next person in line to take the business. And he worked out really good. So it really gave me, oh, I mean, it was a struggle for me, though. It was a struggle, you know. And I have my ideas about business. I've been in business for all these years, and he's new. And he's got these young guy ideas, you know, and these new things. With, you know, I said, just be quiet. Let me show you how to do this stuff, you know. So anyway, we kind of clashed a little bit, but eventually we got real close, and he turned into an excellent pool guy. And he took it, you know, as I started phasing out, he took it to another level, you know, which I didn't really care to go to the next level. we were happy where we were, you know, and happiness is the best thing in business if you're happy, you know. But he said, no, let's go here. Let's go to – I don't want to go there, you know. I said, I'm happy where I am. But so that's really the reason that I kind of phased out of the business, you know. And, you know, my wife Barbara still works in the office, you know, because somebody's got to make money. I'm too busy in my garden, you know. I ain't got time for making money. But anyway, Doug is doing really good, and he took it to the next level, and he's growing the business. And we were just talking. He's got his two daughters, and, you know, who knows who they're going to wind up with. And we can kind of keep going with that, you know, and I think it's going to work out real good that way, you know. And
now, is this all news to Doug if he's listening for the first time that he was on the chopping block and encouraged to be pushed out?
He knows. He knows. Yeah, he knows. You know, he was, wow. I mean, it was a struggle, man. Holy cow. We just, every time I saw him, I said, oh, Annie, I said, please, please tell him to keep his mouth shut, you know. But it worked out really good. And, I don't think he's actually there right now. They're in Philadelphia in a national volleyball tournament. So that's
so Doug plays volleyball.
No,
nationally?
No, the girls are very
pools
good.
And volleyball.
Very
pools
good
and volleyball
players. Yeah. But he, like you say, he took it to the next level, and you know, that's where we are right now. And you know, I'm very, very happy. It's unbelievably fortunate for me because I don't have to worry about who's running the business. And that was one of our biggest things. Me, you know, when me and my wife were working, the business grew real fast. And then we had to make a decision at some point. Do we hire people or do we keep it here? So we said, well, we'll try and go a little further. And that was a tough one because customers go, no, we want Tom or we want Barbara to come and do our pool. And then when my son-in-law came on, even he had trouble with that, you know. But he eventually, endeared all of our customers to him. Now they really relate to him real good, you know. And I still get calls, you know, saying, you know, can you come home and take a look? I said, well, call Doug. You know, he can handle it. But, it's a blessing. It's really a blessing. And I always felt like when we walk in your yard, you're lucky because, you know, people would say, I don't know nothing about this pool. I said, whoa. I said, don't ever say that to anybody else but me. I said, because that's a license for, you know.
Being upsold, a lot of stuff you don't need.
That's right. We never, ever. I always tell them, I said, you're so lucky that you got me in your yard because I'm never going to do that, ever, ever. And Doug will never do that either. And, you know, that's what we train our people to do. You know, never, never do stuff like that.
We're going to jump to an interesting interview from a gentleman snowed in Colorado, currently taking over or in the process of acquiring a sawmill. How many people do you know run sawmills?
Wow.
Do we have a clear connection into Colorado?
Yeah, I can hear you great.
How many feet are you under?
Probably about a foot right now. We got about 5 inches last night and about a foot on Wednesday, but it was sunny on Thursday, so some of it melted.
So what does that do for a sawmill business? Is everything shut down, or do you employ part-time snow plows to get workers in them?
Yeah, my father and I are the part-time snow plows. we shift over from dealing with logs to dealing with snow. Usually, these spring storms can usually shut us down for a day or two while we have to dig out.
And what does that do for managing the production?
Well, with Mother Nature, production on a snow day pretty much stops unless it's something under a roof that we need to get done. But even in our state, a lot of the vendors and people that we're dealing with are as shut down as we are when it snows this much. So it kind of slows it down. Big storms can knock us out to an extra week out, but my father's been dealing with it for 30 years, so we just keep plugging along.
Now, Tom, you had mentioned your kids had kind of weeded themselves out of Marine Corps, running from cops, going into appraisal business. Now, Dan, you're one of five kids. How did you kick your brothers and sisters out to make sure you were in position to take over?
I don't think, to be honest with you, none of the five of us had any interest in it. And I left and went to school and did my young early 20s experience and decided that maybe the thing my dad had going on was the best thing going. And
did you...
I came back in 2007, and it was the best decision I ever made. Him and I get along real well. We enjoy what we do, and we have a lot of fun doing it.
I think of a lot of similarity to that, Dan.
Well, and you guys are both lumberjacks. What year did
we
you
are,
graduate?
Yeah, I graduated in 99 from NAU up in lumberjack country. So,
did you ever graduate, Dan? Or I know you attended. Did you ever graduate?
Not NAU, down at ASU.
Okay.
I ended up transferring.
No, Bubba is actually his nickname. This is my first
Bubba.
Cousin, so
all
I've
right.
got a little bit of drawing. I don't tease everyone this bad that I don't know. What?
But yeah, I never finished at NAU. I finished down at Arizona State.
Okay.
So I started at NAU in hotel restaurant management. I thought that was going to be the thing I was going to do. And about 3 years into it, I was taking a clean the hotel room class. And realize I don't have any interest in doing this for us. Then I started looking at transferring and realized that most of the hotel restaurant management credits don't transfer to anything. So I ended up losing some credit hours and transferring to Arizona State and then finishing up in the School of Business.
And what's been your biggest challenge to date, moving back to Colorado and getting engaged in the family business?
I would say in Colorado, as of late, our biggest challenge is finding employees
that aren't stoned.
Exactly. I think last summer we maybe had 75 applications come in for a summer position that could have been into a full-time position. And out of those 75, five of them cleared the drug test.
Wow. Wow.
And I know it's not just us. I know a lot of the small businesses in Colorado are having a huge problem with that. They think it's legal here in the state, but our insurance isn't going to cover them if they get hurt, or us. And it's not a risk we're willing to take. But
that's interesting.
That's really been one of the biggest challenges since it's become legal here, is to find good employees that are clean.
So out of curiosity, Clay, in the insurance coverage, and y'all do a lot of workman's comp.
Yep, I was just thinking that very same thing.
Has there been any talk about changing the drug, what would pass or fail a drug test?
I'm going to say no on that one. I'm going to say drugs are bad, and if I'm covering a sawmill, something tells me that, we're gonna want all everybody's
somebody.
Fingers and toes on there, on their hands and feet at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's workman's comp. You just don't even want to mess with it. It's not worth it. For us, we're not a huge mill. It's pretty much my father and I that run it. And anything that could happen, if they were under the influence, it could shut us down.